This is the second annual conference. What tops the agenda?
This is a really critical time for LGBT organizers and community members from across the South to be getting together. We're going to be talking about topics like how to organize against so-called religious freedom bills, which have popped up here in North Carolina and many states across the South. We're going to be talking about how to prepare for the oral arguments in the Supreme Court cases on marriage, which happen on April 28th. And prepare for a likely ruling from the Supreme Court on marriage in late June. And we're also going to be talking about issues which matter each and every day, about how we can better support LGBT youth as they go to school and as they are trying to grow up in environments that can be hostile to them, about how we can support LGBT elders, about issues like HIV and AIDS prevention.
What are some of the challenges you face that are unique to the South or the Southeast doing this kind of work?
Well, the South is a very unique part of the country for LGBT organizing. The South gets less than 5% of all funding in the national movement, and most of that goes to big cities. Most of the people coming to this conference are coming from small towns and small cities and rural areas across the South, coming in from Arkansas, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, eastern Tennessee, upstate South Carolina. So these are folks who are working day in and day out to do really frontline critical work, to start new conversations, to create support services for LGBT youth, and are doing that with minimal financial resources. Tremendous courage, tremendous resilience, but not a lot of resources. So the conference is really about speaking to the very specific dynamics we see in the South, of very scrappy organizers who are working in communities where there is growing support, but still a lot of opposition, and who are tackling the very specific political and cultural kind of questions that come up in the South.
As you mentioned, the Supreme Court is expected to hear arguments April 28th over whether gay and lesbian couples can marry in all 50 states. How confident are you that the court will end this debate and make same-sex couple marriages legal in the U.S.?
Well, we're cautiously optimistic that the court will do exactly that when they rule in June, as is expected. There are many reasons for this. One is that there are simply no valid legal defenses for bills that ban marriage between same-sex couples. And over 60 federal courts across the country have found that to be true, and we're confident the U.S. Supreme Court will also find that to be true. The other side, of course, is we know how desperately couples need the freedom to marry in those places where it's not yet been secured. So we go into this period of time understanding how much is at stake, understanding that each and every day we need to be starting new conversations, hopeful for a positive ruling in June, and also knowing our work won't be done whatever ruling we get.
Last month, more than 370 well-known businesses, including Apple and Amazon and General Electric, filed amicus briefs in this case. Are you surprised by the pace of change that we're seeing around this issue?
Well, the velocity is sometimes breathtaking, but I think it speaks also to the reality that for decades and decades and decades, people have been pushing for the freedom to marry and for equality for LGBT people. And we've now reached a period in our country where recent polling shows that 63% of Americans support the freedom to marry. And as you mentioned, major corporate interests recognize how critical it is to have a workplace in which all people are treated equally. But it extends beyond the corporate sphere into sectors like the religious one, which I'm part of as a person of faith, as we see more and more faith traditions coming out and saying we affirm LGBT people as children of God and we support the marriage of same-sex couples. So we see those kind of major culture shifts happening across sectors.
Do you think, though, that Fortune 500 companies support, that could prove more valuable or more important than the work of activists focusing on the civil rights aspect of this question as it's argued before the Supreme Court?
I don't see it as an either-or proposition. I mean, I think what we're looking at is a groundswell moment where we're looking at the cumulative impact of the realities of people's lives. You mentioned Apple. Their CEO, Tim Cook, has recently come out as a gay man. So even in the context of a corporate position, we also see that what it comes down to is an understanding of what this issue means in the lives of real people and real families. And I think a climate that's growing culturally and is growing in the South of understanding that treating people equally and fairly is always the right thing to do.
You mentioned religious freedom laws that we've seen in Indiana and in Arkansas. What's the status of that effort here in North Carolina?
Well, in North Carolina, so-called religious freedom bills have been introduced into our legislature and are currently pending there. This is a really critical time to be talking about why these bills are dangerous and open the door to permitting discrimination against LGBT people, yes, but also against many other kinds of people, including women who could be seeking health care, including religious minorities. Religious freedom is a sacred value in our country, and it's protected by the Constitution and robustly protected by federal law, as it ought to be. This bill is a thinly disguised effort to write discrimination into our state law. So we are working in coalition with a number of groups across the state to try to advocate against the passage of these bills. And we're hopeful that what we saw happen in Indiana will be a cautionary tale here in North Carolina and will allow us to make a different set of decisions here.
Can you imagine a day when you wouldn't be organizing such a conference as takes place this weekend in Western North Carolina?
I can certainly envision a day in which LGBT people are equal under the law and have every opportunity to thrive and be full members of communities across the South. So I can envision a day in which the kind of urgent critical needs we experience right now are replaced by just the realities of being an LGBT person in a community where you're treated equally. I imagine it's going to be quite some time that we still have good questions to look at. And one of the core things we're looking at this weekend is LGBT issues and also how LGBT issues connect into other civil rights and political struggles in the South. So we're, in addition to very specific topics like the experience of LGBT youth, we're doing some broad look at the intersection between racial justice issues and economic justice issues and the current political climate in the South. So those questions aren't going anywhere. I know that.
You're a married woman.
Yes.
But the majority of state elected officials serving in the General Assembly do not want to have the state recognize you as married. How does that make you feel?
That points to a reality that really deserves a lot of attention in the South, which is that even as laws are changing, our marriage is recognized in North Carolina. And even as public support is growing, a growing majority of people in our state do support the freedom to marry. Many of those who hold political power continue not just to oppose the freedom to marry and LGBT equality, but to very transparently use their political power to implement regressive and discriminatory measures. And that question of political power and political powerlessness is really key as we think about the years ahead for the LGBT community. One of the next steps in our community will be starting to elect more openly LGBT candidates and allies who are ready to speak openly about their support for equality. So it's a very good reality check to be reminded that as of today, you're right, a majority of folks in our elected body would continue to oppose the freedom to marry. It points to exactly the measure of work we have yet to do.
The pace of change has been dramatic. Do you have moments, though, where you are concerned that advances could be rolled back?
Well, I see this through the lens of American history, really. And one thing that history teaches us is that every time a minority group has fought for and won rights, there has also been pushback. And I think we see that happening around LGBT rights and equality. The so-called religious freedom bills that are being introduced in a flood across the country are absolute evidence of this. We've seen some other bills here in North Carolina along the same lines. So part of this is understanding the work we're doing through the long view of sort of the push and pull of the tides of progress in our country's history. In all of that, I feel extraordinary hope that we'll get to a place where LGBT people are equal under the law and also equal in the way we can live our lives day in and day out.
Reverend Jasmine Beach Ferreira is Executive Director of the Campaign for Southern Equality. Thank you very much.
Thank you.